Welcome to the Birds FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Global Contagion.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction. Righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. Today is Monday, October 18th, and the hand puppet from China, known as the fake Biden, is still in office. Kamala Harris is still a woman that used to be a man, pretending to be a woman, used to be a man, and is probably still sleeping around since she's a mattress back. And also trying to pretend like she's loved by children that they hire children actors for, which is really kind of sick, to tell you the truth. They probably had Disney involved in that. But I don't know if you heard, that was that production she did was run by, and you can't make this up, Sinking Ship Productions. I'm not kidding. So we have an insane world, and it is getting more insane by the day as we watch this entire system unravel and fall apart. And the thing is, it's not going to leave anybody untouched by the time it's done. But before we begin tonight, a great call out to MyPillow, MyPillow.com. MyPillow, obviously, is the CEO is Mike Lindell, one of our great patriots and CEOs and Christians of our time. That man has fought like crazy to help save this country and preserve it. He supports patriots in amazing ways. He continues to support this nation. He puts up legal fights. He funds it out of his own money. And yet he still runs an amazing company that has survived relentless attacks from the left. So MyPillow has just been a great supporter of this channel and a great supporter of BardsFest. They have amazing products. So I'd really encourage you to get on over to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com, and scroll on down and click on the radio listeners box. You're going to find all sorts of great savings there. And you can use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. They've got great things going. They have, obviously, the 50% off on My Slippers, which is one of our favorites. Do you know that when we started the My Slipper push, that the Bards Nation almost sold them out of inventory in 2 weeks? Is that amazing or what? And now they've got them on sale for 50% off. They're great Christmas gifts. And we have Giza sheets on sale. You've got the mattresses. You've got mattress covers. You've got duvet covers. I mean, they've got everything. Towel sets. I love it. It's like an online Bed Bath & Beyond. Such a good deal. And such a great company, because you know that every single one of your dollars spent in some way are going to help support liberty. So head on over to MyPillow.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. And while you're there, check out all the great savings and great time to get some Christmas gifts. Also, if you want to speak to a live operator, you can call 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939, where you will get an official authorized Patriot sleep pillow counselor that by the time they get through with you, they will tell you exactly what you need with your promo code to keep you forever out of a psychologist's office. That's exactly what you need. You don't need psychologists. You just need great MyPillows. That's it, right? Sleep well, baby. That's what we need. It's really good stuff. And I use it all. You know I do, and I believe in it. Also, Expedition Coffee, X-P-E-D, Expedition Coffee. ExpeditionCoffee.com is where you go to get what I consider to be the best coffee ever made. And I mean that. I use it every single day. I've used it since it was first offered to me as a test product to see if I wanted to put our brand on it. I was highly skeptical because I'm a major coffee snob. But there's so much more to this coffee. It not only tastes great, but it gives you great mental clarity throughout the entire day. It boosts your focus. It helps enhance your immune system, and it's the foundation to help seal your leaky gut, which is a big deal in medical, which they don't talk about much. Very few people except Dr. Eric Napudi and a few others are really vocal about it. Because leaky gut actually, when you get that corrected, takes care of a large percentage of your illnesses. So that's why, in addition to Expedition Coffee, if you go to the site now, expeditioncoffee.com, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com, you're going to find that there's the Health Gut Triad. It's a great set of products that you can get to support healing and sealing your gut. They're incredibly good. I've been taking them for over three months now. I've had nothing but positive and rave reviews on them. I will tell you, they don't make your hair grow back, and they don't make your nostril hairs get longer, but they do seal your gut in great ways, and they help in boost your immune system. And it's just a great series of products. So check that out, along with the foundation product of the Expedition Coffee. You will not be sad. You tried it, and it will be very good for you, especially in an environment where there's little things like they're trying to kill us with all sorts of pandemics and stuff. So good to keep our immune system strong and healthy. So again, Expedition Coffee, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com. We are in a very crazy time, as we know, in a period of time when we are seeing the true face of the corporate state. And people have to dig a little bit right now to start paying attention to what's really going on. You've heard probably a lot of things about Norway, and you've heard about Sweden, and you've heard about Denmark. It's like, oh, they've stopped the COVID pass. Okay, that whole bit is a bunch of nonsense. So this is why. When you dig under the covers to find out what they are really up to, you're going to discover that the reason that they've stopped the COVID pass is they hit the 70% mark with the injections. Okay? When you're looking across when you hear today that the Delta Airlines CEO is saying, hey, you know, we're pushing back against Biden's mandate on injections. Listen to the interview carefully if you get it, because what he says to you, what he's telling the world is, we already had a plan in place, which was they were mandating vaccines on their own. And in the process, now they have 90% compliance, and they're trying to get 95% compliance by next month. There's a lot of deception going on, and even the people fighting for this are not realizing what's going on. We have a ton of people that have taken this injection. It keeps coming out every single day, the number of people that are taking the injection and they're having complications. The mRNA, by every doctor's estimate, will result in the end, in the next 3 to 5 years, in a probably a 90% death rate. That's the expectation of the mRNA. So when we're looking at the situation across the globe, we are literally seeing a mass depopulation attack. And the problem is that our hopium crew, which is a ton of patriots right now painting this hopium nonsense, those people are neglecting to address the core and critical problem. When you go through the order of events and you realize that the injection was always a depopulation agenda, and then you look at that at what follows, because the injection was started, the process of developing the vaccine and the whole COVID nonsense was started before the 2020 election. What we're looking at there is that by 2020, all they were doing is hijacking an election, knowing that they were going to have this injection ready to put into people and depopulate and or control. Now pay attention to all the things that are going on right now in our country. And this is just a little sidebar on this to understand. Graphene is one of those nanotech issues that's in these vaccines. And there's increasing number of web coverage coming out on this, that graphene is able to be controlled by frequency, by magnetic frequency. Okay, now, the 5G towers are not unrelated. I just want you to consider this for a minute. And this is just an observation. I can't prove this, but it's just an interesting observation. There is all the intent in the world when you listen to the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab. They are intending to control your emotions through this injection process by embedding nanotech and the hydrogel within you that will essentially transition you to be a transhuman. And in their world, Using frequencies and your DNA, they can singularly target each person with an AI engine on the back end to control and manipulate their emotion. Now, all this emphasis on election fraud is worthless if they hit the 70% mark on these injections. And why is that? Because they don't need to worry about rigging an election. They're just going to control what people vote by their emotions. So in my personal opinion, and this is just me, I believe that the election was always a false flag. I think that the election rigging was they exposed intentionally. They knew they were going to get caught. I believe this. I think they exposed their technology that they were using and the way they were hacking it because they knew it was already outdated. They just went for broke and rigged the election totally, knowing that everybody would jump on that bandwagon while they rolled out the injection, which was the main objective, which was a two-part bio attack on the United States, knowing that it would depopulate and the rest of them they could control like slaves and they would never have to worry about election rigging again. Not only did they get their people in place with the election, but now the COVID idiots that are taking this shot are now subject to their machine and controlling. And while it's great to see all of these people involved in coming together, and there's a lot of emphasis right now on coming together. There's unity with the vax and the unvax, and there's all of this happiness going around and one level. It's kind of this hopium. We're standing up together. What's going to happen here in a year or two or three when that mRNA and all these other parts start to break the body down? Because it's not a question of if it's going to happen. People have been modified once they take the injection. And unless they've had a saline shot, which, by the way, for those that are out here going, it's all saline. It's not all saline, but they have put in saline shots in with the real shots. And the theory is the reason they've done that is to minimize the upfront casualties of it and damage so that they can get people accepting the shot. And then as they go along, more and more people are getting the real dose of what they need, which is to transition people to transhumanism. The real contagion isn't voting machines. The real contagion isn't economics. The real contagion is us. And it's the weakness in faith across the globe that has allowed people to fall into the trap of fear. Stopping this train was very easy to do a year ago. All people had to do was say no. Where we are now is people are panicked. They're out here sacrificing their jobs. They're losing this or that. I get that the sacrifice is real, and I'm not diminishing it. But the reason we are here is the number of people that bought into the lie. And because they bought into the lie, we're now at a critical point. So all of that part of it, ultimately, has to be addressed as we move forward, because the real core here that's going to stand strong and the real core that's going to get blistered the most, at least they're going to attempt to blister, are those that have absolutely refused to participate. And it's coming. Now, with all of this, we have a collapse of the global economic system. And the real question is, what's going to win in the end? Okay. The strength of people, it goes back to who we are as people. Who is really going to save the day? It's not going to be some guys on the white horse. It's going to be we the people. We have always been the plan to save the world. And it literally is a question of if we are going to be able to save the world. We are dealing with a machine that in a sense is doing a harvest right now. And what that harvest is it's as it injects people and it gets people farther and farther down that pipeline of the injections from the first shot to the second shot to the booster to the second booster, and they will just be ongoing. The farther down that road they get, the more control they get of population segments, and they will be able to control them. It's not even a question. There's the combination of depopulation, which is endemic to their plan, which means many people are going to be removed. And keep in mind, and if you pay attention, where are they focusing this injection the most? On Western Christian societies. And the reason is simple. China wants this land. China wants it to turn to take over our agriculture land in the end, and they can't nuke us, because if they nuke us, they ruin the land. And so there's a bit of a strange detente that they end up with, that they need the land for, and they want the land, and they want to wipe us out because they want to be the global dominant power. And so they can't beat us militarily, but they can beat us in the ways that they work, which is based on unrestricted warfare. And that's a whole combination of events in the unrestricted warfare plane, using lawfare, economics, using information warfare, that are seemingly passive, using bioweapons, which are not sprayed in the air, but are delivered through an injection through your doctor who's complicit in the crime to humanity, or your nurse. And they've turned the institutions against us to affect a depopulation event, to weaken the infrastructure of the people significantly in the United States, and ultimately affect a measure of control through a transhuman process where they can then roll up what they need and take over the nation and do so without a shot being fired. Those that are standing strong on the unvaxxed side we represent the true fifth column. And we represent that fifth column that is going to be the saving line of this country. So the line that we walk becomes increasingly important and increasingly critical. Those that are injected, that are joining that fight, you're welcome to join the fight, but we better figure a way to get you healthy, because in the end of the day, the problem is that with this technology, what we're actually seeing is an integration of someone who, in the end, because of the technology that's in them, we don't know if we can fully trust them. Now, that sounds really draconian, but the fact is that once this stuff gets activated, no one really knows what it will do, other than the fact that the potential is there to be able to affect brain chemistry and affect the way people act and behave. That is a very dangerous place we are at right now. As we watch this whole global issue unravel, we are seeing, obviously, the Evergrande issue, which is starting to spin out of control, and China's even admitting it. And it's one side to look at this, and I do, obviously, to as I look at this from an economic analysis, to say, okay, is this contagion going to completely wipe out the deep state and collapse the system, or is it part of their plan, or is it part of some white hat plan? And it's really, to be honest, it's impossible to totally call this. And yet what it really comes down to is the people. We are not going to be able to avoid the impact of what is coming. This global contagion economically and resource-wise, energy-wise, and health-wise is all coming to a singular point of mass disruption. Most systems across the globe are going to collapse. Now, the challenge with that is the World Economic Forum, under Klaus Schwab, has said that this is their opportunity within a very narrow window to reset the world. So a collapse, to a certain degree, works in their benefit. And the more devastating the collapse works to their benefit, because most people are weak. They're ideologically weak and spiritually weak. So they want quick fixes. This is one of the reasons I so dislike hopium coming out of the Patriot accounts. I dislike it to no end. And we've all, to one point or another, have done it. And I've told you that. I'm not innocent here for having painted some optimistic pictures, like when we were around November 3rd to January 6th. But here's the real of it. As we go along, we have to reassess and get real. Hanging on right now, which I just cannot believe the number of accounts now that are regurgitating Q stuff, okay, as to try to justify where we're going and the Patriots are in control. All right. I'm not discounting that there are white hats working behind the scenes, but the reality is that this wave is going to hit us all in a massive way, and it's going to knock people down on their knees. And when you start to look at the layers of policies that are being passed by this insurgency of a regime and all of its cohorts. All you have to do is pay attention to what Gavin Newsom has passed, 70 plus measures that are straight up Marxist in this last little bit, just pencil whipped them. And the Biden administration is doing the same. These are policies that are being implemented by agencies. None of that issue gets unraveled quickly. The only way to really break it down is to force the government to go completely bankrupt and let it completely incinerate itself without any ability to provide goods or services to the people. But that's a very brutal breakdown. And yet that's ultimately the only way we can go forward. The global contagion is both a benefit, an opportunity, and it's a curse. It all depends on how we are going to approach it. But remember, people want to hang on to one thing or another. This isn't just bankruptcy. Okay, the ripple effect here is going to be significant. We're looking at a complete disruption of supply lines, which is impacting China, which is where we get most of our goods and services, whether we like it or not, or most of our goods anyway, and including food products. And then you have to look at who owns the agriculture land, how the government's influencing production of food, how the government's influencing production of energy. All these things are choking up right now. So as this wave hits, it's going to be, in my opinion, a very brutal winter and a very brutal next number of years. And as people get worn down, unfortunately, the reset, the Great Reset, which was originally Agenda 2030, which about a year ago got moved back to Agenda 2025, maybe it was 2 years ago, you start to see a map that they could put together very easily, that they could so decimate the global population and people's will that by 2025 they could roll in with a new digital currency, offer you hope because they've been storing and keeping food away from people. And in the exchange would be all you have to do is get an injection and take on a COVID pass. Because at that point, people's will would be broken. And they wouldn't just do it here. They would do it globally. On top of that, we are dealing with the consequences of this injection. This injection is designed to function as in part as a depopulation weapon. And it's doing that. And in doing that, it's going to leave us void of critical talents in our society, critical skills, things like having somebody be able to understand the engineers, being able to understand how to run the internet, running main data centers, or people that say are part of a power plant that the engineers there that suddenly don't show up because they're highly sick or dead. None of these systems are still very human driven, and the ripple effect of these things is going to be severe. Farmers, I don't know how many have taken the injection, but what happens when they start getting sick or dying off because of this injection at an early rate? Food production isn't just going to kick up. And it's not like you can call in the National Guard or the Army to fill in the gaps, because believe it or not, being a farmer takes a lot of skill and a lot of generational knowledge. So what we're looking at here is a global contagion that is on many levels driven by this overconsumption and debt-driven world that we're in. And in doing so, people have left themselves massively vulnerable to the collapse of the system. And they haven't been prepared or mentally or skill set-wise to fill the gap. Now, obviously, you've heard me talk a lot about county by county. This is the opposite side of the reasons behind it, because without getting ourselves anchored back into our stability to our home, we are vulnerable in a great degree to what happens in the system. We are still vulnerable even in our homes, because we're still dependent on electricity. We're still dependent on fossil fuels. We're still dependent on something, some pump system to pump our water, even if you have a well. So you end up looking at this model over and over as having to get back to some very fundamentals to keep yourself secure or your community secure that are not dependent on the main grid. And the grid being more than an electrical grid. That is the entire grid of the economic order that we're talking about here. The opportunity for us is huge, because as we do this migration in this breakaway economy, very much like an exodus, we start pulling together our resources in the community to start looking at resiliency and what we can produce, support, manufacture, repair, innovate at a local level based on the resources we have. And we sever our dependence on this global supply chain. And not every community is going to be able to do the same thing as another community. But nonetheless, every community has an opportunity to take this step up, every county. And at a county level, we can start building resiliency in our counties. The problem we have right now is there's still too much idyllic view that this somehow isn't going to be that bad this winter. That we're going to get through this, that as long as everybody gets injected, we're all going to get through the pandemic. You have the noble fight going on against corporations that are doing things like, you know, we're not going to show up. We're going to shut the infrastructure down if you don't change your policies towards vax. But the reality is that even if these policies are modified, you haven't defeated the deep state. The only thing you've done is you've just changed the timeline for these psychopaths. These people are still in charge, and their end game is still remains the same, which is to break the will of the American people in any way necessary, to depopulate the country and the Western world in the first phase of this, and to then reestablish the populations under the elite's control, which are all based on immigration. There's a good reason that they're trying to put immigrants in this country, heavy flows of them, that are not coming here. They're not coming here because they want freedom. They're coming here because they want part of the free shit society. Okay? And many of them as well are part of human trafficking networks. So they're reestablishing this as they go. None of those are required to take an injection for good reason. None of the homeless are required to take an injection for good reason. Because that's the new order that they want in this society. The homeless are an easy one. They've already been abandoned. They already are in survival mode. They will be compliant pretty much to whatever this new order wants, and they're not a threat, at least not yet. The immigrants are not a threat because they just want what they want for free. And as long as they're given health care and given a place to live and a job, they're all going to be happy. And it can be strictly a low-level UBI, and they'll be happy for a couple generations until that doesn't work, and then they'll be exterminated as well with another pass of a vaccine. So I say all this in painting a pretty dark picture because it is important to understand what our role is and how important our role is. We are really the seminal line between success or failure in this fight. And when I say we, I'm talking about that core group of people that have stood strong in faith, putting God first, and have refused this shot. We represent, quite literally, a pure bloodline of sorts that has not been affected or disrupted by this injection that is modifying DNA and putting technology in people that can track them and influence them and even change behaviors in the end. That group, our group, is a true remnant, and it is not just here, there's many around the world that are in this place. And the more that we grow this, the more we have to link ourselves both throughout the country and over the seas. But we're going to be that strength because we are the example for those, if they understand, if those that are coming over, we are the example and the guide for many of what we are, what we've done and what we've stood for. The problem is that, again, many people are fighting this fight at the level of choice. And it's a distraction again. As I said, the elections were a distraction for the depopulation event. The choice issue is a distraction to the real issue because it's not a choice unless you consider suicide an appropriate choice in society. Taking this shot is one step further down the path of losing your soul to this deep state. And it's our obligation to be able to stand strong here and awaken those that are playing this game of saying it's a choice. There is no choice here. I'm sorry if people took the injection and now they're waking up. And as I've said many times, we want you to come join this fight and we welcome every bit of it. But there's a couple of things that need to happen along the way. And it's a very simple process, and I've been beating on this, and it is important to understand that there was a decision made when you took that shot to follow the path of fear or just not caring in the relationship that you had with God. It was fundamental. God gave us a perfect temple to get through this. We didn't need any man-made substance to affect our DNA. That poor judgment, or whatever motivation, whether it was because you wanted to fly, whether you wanted to travel, whether you wanted to go see friends, whether you just couldn't handle the pressure, or whether you had succumbed to the fear, every single one of those things has nothing to do with the walk of God on this earth. So it has to begin when you come across in this fight and you're joining the fight. There has to be repentance, period, end of story. That's how it goes. And that's a condition of entry. So right now, as I say, so much emphasis is being placed on the fight for the choice. There is no choice here. And anybody that's saying that it's a choice, and I've had these people, it's a free country. There is no choice. If someone's going to tell me that their choice is to put a gun to their head and blow their brains out, and that's where they want to go, I'm disowning them. I want nothing to do with them. Because if they aren't going to listen to any other way to go but that, that's not a choice of living. That's just a cop-out to get out of this world. The injection is no different. The thing is that people that are driven still by fear have a weak spirit, and they have to be guided to God. It's an obligation. It's an obligation we have as Christians. So this is going to get to be very complicated. It already is, for that matter. It was one thing before when we could identify vaxxed and unvaxxed. And God doesn't work that way. I think that's part of it. I mean, God does not. I had a conversation, which is going to come up this week, with Pastor Graham this morning, Pastor Travis Graham. Great conversation. You'll enjoy it very much. And that'll actually be up tomorrow night. And then, just so I say it, Zach from Red Pill 78 is going to be on Wednesday night. And then I have a special guest coming in to talk about Chicago on Thursday night. So we've got a lot of things going on, or something. We might move one of those around, but that's basically the order of events for the week. But, you know, Pastor Graham pointed out something very true, which is at the point when you face God, God's not going to ask you if you took the injection or not. He's not going to ask you if you have a COVID pass. He's going to ask you what you did in your relationship to Christ in walking this world. And I get that. Unfortunately, what we're dealing with right now is a problem that when people are focused on the injection as a choice, they're missing the deeper walk that we're facing. It's, do you want to walk with God, or do you want to give a choice of a depopulation event? In that context, there has never been a choice. We can't support in any way an injection that has at its core the darkest evil we've ever witnessed on earth, because free will is being manipulated to a large degree. If people really understood that they were taking a shot, there would be a process of slow death, guaranteed slow death, and it was a self-inflicted suicide, my guess is you'd have a hard time getting past 3 to 5% of the population that would take it. So our focus is not only has to be to hold this line, because we are the remnant. Our focus as well is to be able to bring as many into the love of Christ and through repentance that are joining this coming from the outside. The contagion, again, is human beings. I hate to say this, but when I say that, it's the poor relationship they have with God and the weakness in their spiritual being. We have to get back to a place to understand that God is everything, and without him, we are nothing. And when we get back to that pivot, this world is quite literally going to change for the better. But the risk that we have going forward is, what path are people going to choose? Who has the strength to walk a true exodus, to trust in God, to walk out into the world, to make sure that we hold that line under no conditions except the compromises offered by this corrupted government or various forms of it, and to walk that true path of God to build a new economy, to build a new foundation, a new direction, to re-innovate everything, and to build it on the principle of elevating each other while we each use our gifts and talents to move forward. That world does not give quarter, or does not give excuse for people sitting on their butt. It doesn't give excuse for people to give an excuse of why they can't do work or what barriers. What that world is I will assist you to stand up, but now you need to continue to stand on your own and use your gifts and talents to get moving. It's a very powerful, very, very motivated world to create greatness using gifts and talents in the glory of God. It can look similar to this in terms of products being sold and things being done. That doesn't matter. It's the priorities of where we go. A world that looks at all things that we do and trying to glorify God is a very different world than what we're doing right now, which is about glorifying ourselves, our bank account, and looking at our credit score. And this is the real challenge, because that world that I'm talking about is the hardest path to take. It's the narrow path. It's the path to climb, and it's going to be a rough climb. What I know is, as long as God's in my heart, that climb is very achievable, even when it seems like it's impossible. It's like when you climb a mountain, and I was thinking this morning of a hike that I did in the Tetons. And literally, like, when you look at this mountain, it looked like it was impossible to get to one of the peaks, and to the backside of the peaks, not the top. And yet, the meandering through the valleys and up the glacier and over the top, and you come back down, and all of a sudden you look up and you realize you're right there. God's path is very much that way. We can't see it, but he guides us. And if we have that commitment and that conviction to this and where we're going, we are going to arrive, and we're going to arrive beautifully. But it may not happen in our lifetime. It might happen in several generations. But as long as we have the conviction to it, we will arrive. That type of conviction, commitment, it's on par with what the deep state's been doing to us. They've been committed to a long-term plan over generations. We have to do the same back to leave this in the Exodus. But most people aren't going to be ready for that or willing to do that. So it's going to be a very difficult space as we head in here, because those that seek to have gratification, and I'm just point to the dozens of accounts that are out here that are what I call Patriot Hopium accounts. And it's nonsense. I mean, it's like everything's going to be better if President Trump comes back. Everything's going to be fixed by a group of white hats. Everything's going to be better by the time we get to spring. This is nonsense. And it really has to be squashed, because it's projecting and presenting a false narrative of how deep a change is going to be necessary for us to truly be free. The work, when you watch the movie The Matrix and you see how that ends after the third sequel, it is this brutal and long and enduring fight that finally this little band of people gets freedom. But what we don't even know what that looks like. They just are released free. They have to begin again. Essentially, that's what we're facing here. So in this process, as we start to see this unity on this conversations of, you know, we're going to shut down transportation, we're going to step out of our teachers' jobs, we're going to step out of our hospitals, we're seeing the institutions collapse, all of that's fine. And all of it's great. But if there's an expectation that suddenly we're going to be able to get a good deal and we're going to be able to go back to work because the choice is now, you know, it's our choice to do so, there's no victory there. None. That's just the deep state play, moving the goalposts a little bit. They've lured you back in until that simmers down, and then there'll be another pandemic scare, and then they'll get more people hooked into the booster, and it's constantly a game of them moving the goalpost and people having too short a view to think that they're going to get what they want. You're not going to achieve that. It's not going to happen. The deep state has one view in the mind in the end. And that is total enslavement of the human population that is not part of them. And those that resist, they want terminated, period. And in the process, they want to cull out a whole mass of people that they consider highly threatening to their existence. And it just so happens that that first round of highly threatening are Western Christians. So there can be no naivety here of what fight we face. We represent the hope of humanity. Understand that. The remnant it has stood strong here with God, with their love of Christ, and has not taken this injection and continues to build away from this, standing strong, taking the brutality of the separations of family, the threats of continued threats of not having jobs, and innovating and moving past that to create this breakaway economy and surviving together. That's the true remnant. That's the true hope for humanity. Those that are coming across, again, there's a long walk to get from where they are to where we need them to be. And so for those of you that have taken the shot, that have woken up, that are listening, again, hat tip, glad you woke up. But here's the deal. You're not going to appreciate this walk until you repent. And here's the bottom line. Repenting and getting yourself back to accepting Christ in your heart and letting God back in your life fully and walking that path of, in the body of Christ, does not guarantee you that you will not suffer the pains of the decision that you already made. What we're talking about here is a higher order of existence. It's going to ensure your salvation. And the commitment that you make to that is what strengthens the remnant as we move. But there are consequences for what we do, and we must always remember that. Okay? This walk we are on, this contagion, ultimately, it's not economics and a debt system. Yes, that's falling apart. It's unraveling. The real contagion is people and their lack of faith in God and the acceptance of Christ in their life. We're coming to a very critical time, and it's going to be a very difficult period. What we do in terms of how we ensure the safety of our families and how we work within our communities to build the bridges that God would want. That's true discipleship right there, by the way. That's true discipleship. When we get to that place and we start doing our work, we are what's going to make the difference of whether people make that choice to be part of the Exodus or whether people become part of the Great Reset. And it is literally a dividing point. And I don't believe that it's going to be one or the other. I think it's going to be both. The question is, what side of the fence are you going to be on? For me, I know where I'm going to be. I'm walking with Christ in my heart, and I'm walking to that freedom of the Exodus that God's leading us to. You can't sit in the middle anymore. You have to make a decision, and that's where we've arrived. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this time when there is so much before us and so much challenging us and so many deceptions and misguidance of things, we really have to look at our world through your eyes and see clearly where you need us to be. And Lord, that's a bold statement, but we pray for that clarity, that eyes to see and ears to hear, so that we can understand that there is not a choice in this point in time. Truly, there is one point, there's one walk. That's the walk towards salvation. And there's another walk, which is a walk to death. Lord, we pray for the many that are out here, including those that have taken the shot and are now standing for liberty, but we need to get them to understand, and we pray that you can help bring that clarity, that this is not about a choice of a mandate, that this is about a choice of saving the soul, salvation or not. Lord, we ask for your blessings in this time. We ask for the pace that all of us patriots that have stood out here and stood clearly in this path that often are feeling tired and feeling worn down. We ask for that inspiration of your love, that light that can touch us, no matter where we stand. And no matter how much the hardships, let us never forget, Lord, that just turn to you because you're there for us. And at times, walking a hard path is what you need us to do. If we can just remember, Lord, that where we are is where you need us. And if we can have our faith in you, no matter what, in those places, how much easier our walk would be. And so we pray for that clarity. We pray for that insight. We thank you for all that's given. We thank you for the protections provided. We're humbled by the sacrifices made. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. A challenge. is a good one. It's a great challenge, in fact, for us to be able to walk this path and for us to be able to climb as we do. And we will, I truly believe that, well, I have no doubt that there's going to be that remnant that's going to be there all the way through this. No matter what it takes, we will succeed. The real question is, how many more can we bring back to God's fold? And I think that that's the question we all have to ask each day, because we don't want to leave those behind. God doesn't want that, even though some will. So we have to work hard in that true discipleship to reach out and to bring people to Christ in the various ways that we can. It's a truly glorious time. Just a quick footnote here, and it's a real interesting one for me. I'll close with this little thought because it's really a God's hand thing. So I've mentioned about getting Bibles for your prep, and I found a case of ESV Bibles the other day, 40 Bibles on Amazon. And when I first went over and looked at it, they were like, I don't know, $70 or something like that. And I put it in my shopping cart and I came back and it went up to $100. I went, well, I mean, it's still a good deal. Don't get me wrong. It's 40 Bibles. It's like $2.25 a Bible. But it just kind of put me off. I'm like, what the heck is this? So I waited a day. And finally, I just feel this on my heart. It's like, I got to get those Bibles no matter what. And I go back and I press on my cart and the price dropped to $67. Man, that's like God saying, all right, you didn't like it at 100. I'll make it 67. Get busy. Get those doggone Bibles. And I got them today, by the way. And so I've got a nice... They're a little, the print is small, and you can find them on Amazon. The print is small, I will tell you that. So you probably need to get 40 magnifying glasses. But they are 40 ESV Bibles, the whole Bible, and they're about $67 to $70 if you shop it. Great value, which is, you know, what is that? 40 of them, that's, at that point, it's under $2 a Bible, okay? And I've got them in the preps to be able to hand out as we go. So anyway, I'll keep looking for large print. That's going to be my next adventure, to find a good deal on large print Bibles. Anyway, Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. We are in a crazily beautiful time, but it's going to take a crazy amount of dedication and work on our behalf. And we're going to do that through our prayers and our faith and our conviction and our solid rock on that walk on that rock of faith. And through and with that, we build our relationship closer to God. And we know God is with us. He'll never forsake us, ever. So we just have to make sure we never doubt him. God is going to win this thing. And the glorious part about this is he's using and relying on us to work through as he works through us to win this fight. That's an unbelievable honor. Let's never forget. And in the end, like we say, God wins. So I will see you this evening for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again.
Surely the opening vistas of space
promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in, we become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand, we live by the words, in God we trust, we fear nothing, we are the light. It can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.